This is the podcast for JNS Spine. Welcome to the JNS Spine podcast for July 29th, 2011. I'm Natalie Pynchon. This podcast features summaries of articles on the thoracic spine, oncology, and a general interest article, all published today. Cervical sagittal plane decompensation after surgery for adolescent idiopathic scoliosis, an effect imparted by postoperative thoracic hypokyphosis. A clinical article by Stephen Wei Hung Huang and colleagues. The author sought to investigate the relationship between postoperative thoracic spinal alignment and the cervical spine in patients with Lenke type 1 and 2 curves in adolescent idiopathic scoliosis. 6 of 22 patients had frank cervical kyphosis preoperatively, and all 6 demonstrated persistent cervical kyphosis on follow-up radiographs after surgery as well. Postoperatively, they had a mean kyphotic cervical angle of 13 degrees with associated thoracic kyphosis of 17.7 degrees. The remaining 16 patients had neutral or lordotic cervical alignment preoperatively. 8 of these patients demonstrated more than 5 degrees of cervical kyphosis postoperatively, with associated mean thoracic kyphosis of 25.6 degrees. The remaining 8 patients did not have cervical kyphosis, but did show mean thoracic kyphosis of 44 degrees. The results of this study suggested that patients with less postoperative thoracic kyphosis might have a higher risk of increasing cervical kyphosis, and that the sagittal profile of the thoracic spine might be related to the sagittal profile of the cervical spine. Surgical treatment of Lenke type 1 and 2 curves with all pedicle screw constructs has a significant hypokyphotic effect on the thoracic sagittal plane alignment. If postoperative thoracic kyphosis is excessively reduced, the cervical spine may decompensate into kyphosis. Spinal extradural arteriovenous fistulas, a clinical and radiological description of different types and their novel treatment with Onyx. A clinical article by Leonardo Rangel Castilla and co-authors. Spinal extradural arteriovenous fistulas are very uncommon vascular lesions of the spine with arteriovenous shunting located in the epidural venous plexus. They are a completely different entity from the more common spinal dural arteriovenous fistulas. In this work, the authors describe the different types of spinal extradural arteriovenous fistulas in 7 patients and their novel treatment with Onyx. Special consideration was given to the anatomy, pattern of venous drainage, and mass effect upon neuronal structures. All of the 8 spinal extradural arteriovenous fistulas were confined to the spinal epidural space and divided into 3 types. Type A has an intradural draining vein, causing venous hypertension and spinal cord edema with associated myelopathy or cauda equina syndrome. Type B does not have an intradural draining vein. However, they cause compression of the spinal cord and or nerve roots. Type B2 does not have an intradural draining vein, no mass effect, and are asymptomatic. Onyx was used in all cases for embolization. Follow-up at 6 to 24 months showed good to excellent recovery. Some patients with type A spinal extradural arteriovenous fistulas had persistent bladder or bowel problems. The current description of the different types of spinal extradural arteriovenous fistulas can help in understanding their pathophysiology and guide their management. The authors state that novel treatment with Onyx is a good alternative for spinal extradural arteriovenous fistulas management. Late occurrence of drop metastasis to the spine in a case of esthesioneuroblastoma. A case report by Abigail Justine Rao and co-workers. In this article, the authors report a case of esthesioneuroblastoma in which multiple drop metastases to the spinal cord were detected many years after the initial diagnosis and treatment of the tumor. Esthesioneuroblastoma is a rare tumor composed of neuroectodermal cells originating from the olfactory mucosa. This aggressive tumor may recur locally and also may metastasize to distant sites in the brain, spinal cord, and other organs. In the case presented here, symptomatic spinal cord metastases were detected 18 years after the initial diagnosis and treatment of the tumor. There was no local recurrence of the tumor in the anterior fossa. The authors describe the clinical presentation of the spinal cord metastases, as well as the surgical treatment and adjuvant chemotherapy that the patient received. They also review the few cases of spinal cord metastases of esthesioneuroblastoma that have been reported in the literature, focusing on the treatment options available for this type of tumor. From this case, the authors conclude that cases of esthesioneuroblastoma warrant long-term follow-up or periodic radiographic surveillance beyond 10 years after diagnosis. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the newly launched American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.